Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The 2018 ESPYs took place last night. Hall of Fame quarterback Jim Kelly won the Jimmy V Award for perseverance. In the emotional speech, he thanked his son Hunter for teaching him the definition of toughness and to never give up. Alex Ovechkin won the 2018 ESPY Award for the best male athlete, becoming the first NHL player to win the award. And the USA women's ice hockey team was recognized with the Best Game Award for their gold medal win at the 2018 Pyeongchang Olympics. The Atlanta Falcons are not planning to renegotiate Julio Jones' contract after the All-Pro receiver sat out during off-season workouts in hopes of that change. Jones has 3 years left on the $71.25 million contract extension he signed in 2015. The Tennessee Titans defensive end Jarrell Casey plans to protest social injustice on the field during the national anthem before games this season and will, quote, take my fine. Casey says his protests in 2018 will be a continuation of what he did last season when he raised a fist during the playing of the national anthem. The Titans have yet to comment on Casey's remarks. The 2018 British Open began today at Carnoustie Golf Links in Angus, Scotland. The championship is being held from today until Sunday, July 22nd. The Los Angeles Dodgers acquired prized all-star shortstop Manny Machado from the Baltimore Orioles in a trade last night. The Orioles received five prospects for Machado, whose contract expires at the end of this season. The Bisons lost yesterday against the Norfolk Tides, 5-4, but the Herd will host the Durham Bulls tonight, and that first pitch is at 7:05, and that is your sports update. Welcome back to One Bills Live. We are pleased to be joined by Buffalo Bill linebacker and good friend Lorenzo Alexander from Arizona over the phone. Lorenzo, you're on with Steve Tasker and Andrew Peters. Thanks for coming on. How are you doing out there?
I'm doing great, fellas. Just enjoying the sunshine. Just finished doing a Pilates class, hanging out with my daughter, about to go grab some lunch, and just enjoying the rest of my free time until we start up here in a week or so.
Pilates class, there's something you never heard back in the early 90s, eh, Steve?
That's true. Is there anything you got to get done before training camp now?
Nah, pretty much everything is in order here in Arizona. The biggest thing is just, you know, soaking up as much time with the kids and my wife as possible. So we're actually having a barbecue on Saturday at the house, and my mom is flying in, and we'll have some friends that are here locally come over and just enjoy those last few days, just kind of hanging out, fellowship, and then I'm ready to go to work when I come back, fly back Monday, report Wednesday.
So tell me about this. When you get back into training camp, and you say it's a 2.5-week training camp, and you're going to get into September, and the season starts in September, when will your family join you in Buffalo, or will they?
Yeah, they actually will come up. They actually get a chance to go to Disney World before they come down with the kids and one of our friends. And they should be there. They like to come to training camp. My kids love it, especially my sons, because they come in the locker room, hang out with the guys, come on the field and play. So I think they'll actually get there like the first or middle of the first week of August just to come down and check me out and see me and stuff.
Lorenzo, I'm looking at a tweet from your teammate, Preston Brown. He said that you pretty much beat him into the ground. I don't know if you've seen this, but this is pretty funny.
Yeah, I saw the tweet. I retweeted it yesterday. He's actually in town. We're working out together. And I just told him he can't reveal any of my secrets to my sauce that I'm able to play when I'm 35 and getting older, but he does, you know, be playing at a high level still. So, but we're having a good time out here. Actually working out with my guy, Thomas Weatherspoon, who's a world-renowned trainer. Trained a lot of guys, a lot of first-rounders back in probably the late 90s, early 2000s, and is now relocating out here in Arizona. I've kind of reconnected with him.
Talk a little bit about, coming back, you're coming back to going to be a much different-looking team when you get back here. New guys on your side of the football. You've had all the OTAs. We've had you on a bunch of times, but now you've been back taking a deep breath, and you're about ready to take the big plunge into the season. How do you feel about your team?
I feel good about it. Like you said, we laid the groundwork in OTAs and the mini camp, the foundation, and now we have to kind of pick up and continue to do that, laying that foundation during training camp and really come together. And obviously throughout this entire process, seeing who our starter quarterback is going to be, seeing how some of our young guys, who's going to kind of rise to the top, kind of like what Matt Milano and Tre'Davious did last year, because we're really going to need, you know, some guys here and there to really step up and play beyond maybe their years in the league to help us obviously get back to the playoffs and ultimately make a run at a championship. So that's all the things that you want to start looking at and building upon as soon as we get back and hit the ground running.
Lorenzo, I was talking to Steve before you got on the line with us, and one of the things I want to know, 35 in any sport, football, hockey, you know, it's tough on the body. Your body's on,
right.
You're not a spring chicken in the league anymore. You're still a young guy, but compared to your peers, you're older. Have you had to adjust your training style or due to just the wear and tear that your body's taken over the years?
Yeah, I mean, well, I think the biggest thing for me is work smarter, not harder. I think when you're younger, obviously your body can handle way more pounding, way more grinding. Mm-hmm. And quite frankly, we've kind of moved away from that mindset anyway, I think, in the sports realm of training, of let's work efficiently and we're smart. And I think you see it in all sports, especially with the Bills. We actually have a great sports science team, Joe and Joe, who are in there and really making sure that the way we train is the most productive and it's going to get the most out of any guy that's on our team. And that's really the mindset I've taken over the years, each year trying to tweak things. And knowing that at 35, I have years and years of muscle memory built up, so I don't necessarily have to focus on or grind it out or do 1,000 reps. I just have to make sure I can still fire at a high intensity and call upon my muscles or whatever I need to when I need them. So it's really more focusing on my central nervous system, quick firing, get in, get out, shock the system, and then move on and make sure I'm recovered so I can do the same thing the next day.
You know, you told us that you're flying back next week. Give us a quick timeline about what you expect when you get back here. You're going to fly, you know, you got to get your barbecue in on Saturday and get some family time and all that, but you got to fly back, and you're probably going to start bumping into a lot of your teammates back here in Buffalo. Now, there's a couple of them that have trickled in, and we've been seeing them work out and stuff. The place is a ghost town here now, but give us a timeline. What's the club told you about where you got to be and when you got to be there next week?
Yeah, so obviously I'm coming back Monday, so that night I'll get a massage. Tuesday I actually go up to the facility, probably get a little warm up in just because of that flight getting tight, and then we don't have to be down technically until Rochester and be completely, I think, checked in until about 10:30. And that's when you see guys maybe go grab some breakfast with somebody, and then we have our conditioning test that day, start our first meeting, and then it's, you know, the acclimation period begins. I think we have 2 days of like an OTA-style practice, and then we throw them pads on and start putting in some real work.
What day do you have to report?
Wednesday, the 25th. We have to report and be down in Rochester, check in by 10:30.
All right, so tell me this. I want five – actually, on the Instigators, we do a summertime six-pack. So I want six things that Lorenzo Alexander has to put in his car to move into camp.
Wow, six things that I need.
So I'm going to guess the fan is the obvious one. I don't know if you guys get TVs, but a fridge, I mean, a blender, any of that?
Like, yeah, I have my fridge, microwave, my laptop, my Apple Watch, so I can listen to my tunes wherever I'm at, even if I don't have my phone on me. And then I need my foam roller, or my Dormatec, because I do a lot of treatment on myself at night when I'm in my room.
My foam roller. Now there's a tough guy.
That's the unexpected one right there.
Yeah, I can see it.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, the fridge I get, no question, and the microwave.
Are the air conditioning in there right now, Lorenzo? Because
yes, AC units.
Oh, okay.
I mean, John Fisher is. I mean, it's probably the best college training camp environment or facility I've ever used. I mean, they're pretty top notch there as far as all the amenities that we need to have a I guess the most peaceful or enjoyable camp that you can have. So it's pretty nice stuff.
What time in the morning do they get you guys going? Because I remember everybody's heard the story about the air horn going off in the hallway, and you know, and what time you guys got to get up and at it? What do you remember?
You know, for me, it's not even that bad. I think wake up call is at 7:00. Oh, I'm already up and going. Cause meetings don't start until 8:00, but most guys are either up or getting breakfast. You have a couple of guys that sleep in a little bit, but for the most part, I think most guys are up during that time. So my kids wake up at 6, so I'm up at 6 anyway. So I've been up a full hour before that horn even goes off. They don't even catch me off guard. Now, back in the day, they used to wake you up at, like, 6 o'clock.
Right.
And, you know, so that horn would get a lot of guys. So it's not as bad as it used to be once upon a time.
So give me one way that Lorenzo Alexander flexes his muscle with his seniority at training camp amongst the young guys.
Which way? You know, I like to hold it for important situations, but I will tell a guy to get out of my way if I need to get stretched for treatment. It's only stuff like that. Get off the taping table. time to get stretched. It's things like, you know, you have to normally sit in line to get ready for practice that I'll move guys out of the way. But if, you know, we're in line getting lunch, stuff like that that is moving at a pretty good pace, I could care less about.
Do you, is there any form of, we were talking about this too, about how hazing has changed over the years. Do the Bills have a program to haze guys and keep them, acclimate them into the pro game?
Nah, I mean, I was actually on Doug and Wolf this morning talking to Doug, Ron Wolfley, and we were talking about the biggest changes. I mean, it's night and day from when you were in the league, Steve, and even when I first got in here. It's just been a culture change, which is cool because they should be so nerve-wracking for most guys, especially when I was, you know, somebody going to make me sing and somebody going to try to take me up or throw my stuff in the cold tub. And we really kind of, you know, moved away with that, and obviously we've had incidents throughout the league that I think has expedited that as well, that has kind of turned into some bullying stuff. But, I mean, the things that we do that are kind of fun in nature, like the linebackers in particular, we have rookie fence where they have to get up in front of us, and it's real fun. They tell us two current event stories, two real stories about themselves, two funny stories. We always get stories from Florida, you know, people down in Florida kind of crazy. And then we'll get a couple of riddles. And so it's real fun, lighthearted, and it's just a chance to see guys get up and kind of, you know, you get to see who they are and things that intrigue them. So that's kind of fun.
Give us one. Now, let's go back to the football side of it. When you guys go out and put the pads on, give us an insight. And I know, because I know when I was first in the league and even later in my career, we were in pads almost all the time. I mean, we were hitting, there was no restrictions on what we could do physically, although I had a really good coach who didn't force us to do that. It's almost the point now where the players almost look forward to pads because it gives them some more level of preparation because they know they're not going to have to do it for 6 weeks in a row. Do the guys almost look forward to putting the pads on because it does seem like you're playing football again?
Yeah, of course, especially initially, right, because we've been in helmets pretty much all of spring, and you get a chance to just kind of, you know, get back into things, get your groove, get your pad level right, get to hit somebody, you know, versus kind of maybe pulling off or, you know, you can really show your coach I could have made that play. So it's definitely fun because it starts feeling a lot more like football and just getting back out there and doing what you love to do. So we always love it, but it's still camp, right? I think, you know, people think that it's gotten soft. I mean, I think football back then was just so brutal. You know, two-a-days, 3 hours in the morning, 3 hours at night was just, when you look at it, it was like, this is ridiculous. Why are we doing this? But football inherently is a tough sport, so even after maybe the first week, guys were like, okay, I got it now. You know, let's pull off here and there, you know, when we can, especially for guys that are a little bit older, just so that we're ready for when we really need it. And that's week one of the season.
My last question for you is, you're 35 years old, you're entering your 13th season in the NFL. We've heard about players that say they want to play until they're 40. We've heard Tom Brady say maybe 45. Have you started to think about how long you want to play, or are you just going to listen to your body?
Yeah, I'm listening to my body, listening to my wife. You know, I'm still playing at a fairly high rate, and it's hard for players, especially when you're doing well, to kind of walk away from something that you really are passionate about doing. I still love the process, love working out, love being in the building, watching film, all the little things that make you, you know, make you a professional in this league. So it's hard. So every year we kind of reevaluate it, and trying to find that happy place to where I play, I'm still playing a high level, and I'm not walking away with the game kind of breaking me physically. So, you know, it's a year-to-year thing for me at this point. And as long as I'm still playing at a high level, it's going to be hard for me to walk away. But I know it's coming here sooner than later, whether it's my choice or the team's choice. At some point, probably time is going to win out on me.
Well, let me tell you, I'll give you a piece of advice. A long time ago, I came to Buffalo and we brought an older player in who had been a truly great player. His name was Art Still. He was a defensive end for the Kansas City Chiefs for years, a tremendous guy and a great individual. He's a real asset to our team. They brought him in, and he was old when we got him, but he still had some gas in his tank, and everybody was always asking him, how do you play so well for so long? Just the kind of questions we're asking you, Lo, and he said – And he never would say, kind of defer those questions, you know, about retiring. And they go, how long are you going to play? And so finally on a flight back from a preseason game, Art said, let me tell you how long you play. And I mean, the whole plane got quiet. And Art said, you play as long as you possibly can. And then you play one more year. And that's the rule of thumb. Don't give it up until the game gives you up.
Well, it's nice to know that you guys have a choice when you get to walk out. Guys like me get poofed out the door, no problem. It's like, see ya, buddy.
Well, that's the one thing you learn too. And Lorenzo, you'll attest to this. They're not retiring my jersey. The game's going to move around. They'll wash my jersey. I mean, they give it to the next guy in line. The game is going to go on without us.
Yes, it is.
Yep, you've had a great career. Continue to have a great career. I can't wait to see you at training camp. You can come on the show with us anytime.
All right, yeah, I look forward to that, fellas. See you down there in Rochester.
Lorenzo Alexander out in Arizona, thanks for coming on. He was on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline, Subway Eat Fresh. Lorenzo, a guy who, and I was showing you the pictures in the break. I've talked to you about it, how he transformed himself. I say it every time. People are probably sick of it, but every time Lorenzo's on, I can't tell you how big a transformation physically he went through to make sure he could play in the league for as long as he has. He was a 300-pounder.
I didn't know how to bring that up to him on the show because I didn't know or just
– Oh, I
that.
Talk to him about it all the time. Well, he's probably sick of it.
Well, he's still on? Lorenzo, are you still on?
Yeah, I'm
saying. Oh, okay. Oh, I thought Steve was signing you off.
I thought you were going to leave.
I do, because Steve showed me a picture of you playing at Cal. Obviously, great jersey number 76. That was mine. But, I mean, you look like a completely different, like, athlete. I mean, you don't have a spare tire around. I mean, you.
Yeah, I used to carry a couple with me back in the day.
Yeah, but, I mean, talk about, like, that and how, like, that alone must have added years to your football career, just getting down and changing your changing everything, basically.
Right. I mean, it's made me a more versatile player. I mean, being just a defensive tackle versus being able to play defensive end, linebacker, and cover kicks, it just added value to my career and has given me or given coaches more of ability to use me in different areas, which has definitely allowed me to stay around the league a lot longer than I probably would have if I just played, you know, a single position. And plus, the way the game is played now, you got to be able to line up in multiple positions in multiple areas because defensive coordinators love to get, very unique in their designs that they draw up. And, and other than that, I mean, just my health in general, not carrying around that extra weight, my joints, you know, low back, all that type of stuff feels a lot better than it would if I had to carry another 75 pounds around every day.
Who says that to you back when you're at that point? Who says that you need to change your body to change the player to play longer?
Right. It was never something that was spoken. It was more done out of necessity because I'm moving. So I was a D tackle, played some offensive line. We brought in Albert Haynesworth 1 year, and then I moved to defensive end. So I had to lose some weight. I'm in there trying to figure out counting numbers like a lot of young guys do. I'm trying to figure out, okay, how can I add value? I need to be in special teams. I need to cover kicks. So I'm begging Danny Smith every day, let me cover kicks. And so I get on the team, I do well, and then if I want to play at a high level, I need to lose some more weight. So I'm going to lose weight there. And then end up moving to outside backer when Shanahan came in. So it was just a natural progression. And I think also me recognizing if I wanted to do a more, I guess, space-style position, a more athletic position, I need to lose the weight so I would be more efficient because I could run still at, 275, 280. But towards the end of the year, I mean, I pulled a couple of hamstrings, just chasing guys and the wear and tear of the body. So it had to come off in order for me to stay available and for me to execute my job at a high rate.
It sounds simple, no question about it. That this not easy, but simple. That you just drop the weight and become a better athlete, and you're just more able to do things. And you've got guys, and this is, and people laugh, and it doesn't really sink in with what I'm saying. But maybe you've had guys like this too, Lorenzo, you were willing to drop 75 pounds. You were asking to play on special teams. You were doing every little thing to make yourself valuable enough to stay on the team. You've got guys who don't stay in the league because they don't want to cover kicks.
They don't want to do the work.
They don't want to do that. They don't want to not go out at night and have a few. They don't want to stay in at night. They don't want to.
Right.
You know, there's so much. Everybody always says, "I'll do anything to play in the NFL." Well, no, they wouldn't.
How long did that take you, Lorenzo, to lose that weight?
It was probably 5 or 6 years on. You know, 20 pounds here, 20 pounds there, and then maybe a year I may stay at the same weight and lose some more weight. But for me, my dream was always to play in the NFL. It wasn't to play linebacker, D-tackle, or to play in, or, you know, whatever it was. I just wanted to be in the NFL and play. That's
me
what
too.
I love to do, play football. So I could care less what it looks like. I tell guys all the time, I mean, I bet most of you guys would rather be a special teams player for 10 years versus to be a starter maybe 2 years and then be out the league.
Right.
So it's definitely kept me around. Kept me rough and kept my value high, so I try to, you know, impart that wisdom and knowledge to guys. And then, you know, guys that are not ready to start, it gives you time to develop. It's given me time to develop in the league as a pass rusher, and now, you know, year 12, when I have, you know, 12 sacks or whatever, and you go to the Pro Bowl. I mean, it doesn't happen on your timeline, and I think some guys are just not open-minded enough. They've been great their whole life. They're really ultra-talented. Oftentimes that gets in your way. And I was just fortunate enough to have people in my life to keep me grounded and humble and to really speak truth in my life. Like, if you want to play, you got to do X, Y, Z. And thankfully enough, I was smart enough to listen to those people.
All right, well, thanks for staying on with us, Lorenzo. I appreciate it. It's been great to have you on. Can't wait to see you in training camp, like I said. And really, I get it with you. I hope your kids enjoy training camp. I never did, but my kids always did. So
Yeah, they love it. They love it. They get to go out there and hang out with Kyle Williams and Sadie and have a great old time.
Yeah, it's all fun and games for them. Fun and games for them. Thanks, Lo. Appreciate you.
Yeah, I'm out of here.
Were you ever able to bring your kids around? How old
were
they?
Last couple. My oldest son was. He was eight, 9, and 10, maybe.
That must
3 years I did.
That's the one thing, Steve, I wish that I never got to do when I played pro sports, whether it's NHL, AHL, over in Europe, was get to bring my kids around the locker room. And that, that's, you remember being on teams and guys would bring their kids in and. It was fun for the guys,
yeah,
because they got to interact and act like kids a little bit,
talk
to kids and act like kids without, you know, being considered like not serious about their profession. And the kids loved it too. And I guess I just wish I would have been able to do that with my guy, but I wasn't good enough to stick around that long.
Right. My son still remembers it, you know, and
he got a chance,
you know, and it was fun because at that point in my career, and we were in such a state that at a place in my career, and the team was in a place with the coaching staff and stuff that. You know, I'd give him to the equipment guys. They'd put him in the gear. He'd go out and he'd carry a bag of balls and he'd stand there and hand, you know, balls to the coaches or the assistant coaches during drills, you know, and because he was old enough to do that. And he would, you know, he knew how to act.
Now, is this your son that's playing for Hamilton?
No, this Luke? Is his older brother.
His older brother.
His older brother. By the way, I got to get out of here today because I got to go up to Hamilton. He's got a home game tonight. So I got to get to that. But, yeah, they remember it. They really remember it. And also one of the things that we did, and this is something that I don't know if too many people did, my thing that I had to get done before training camp, all five kids and my wife and I would go the night before training camp started, and we would stay in my room in training camp, all of us together.
Come on.
Yeah, yeah. We'd slumber party in the room all together before training camp started. And they'd all come in, and they'd pile in, you know, and they'd bring, you know, whatever, mattresses or whatever, sleeping bags and stuff, and you know, watch a movie or whatever.
But the night before your first day camp, in
training camp, yeah, we were the first people
to
check
in. So if you had
a
bad first day, was it always on your family?
Well, no. No, it's hard to have a first day when all you're doing is, you know, getting your blood pressure checked or whatever.
Fair enough.
Or peeing in the bottle, you know, getting drug tested. But it was fun. That was a family tradition of ours that my kids still remember, and it was fun for us. But we did it, for a handful of years, too. Even before we had all of them, we kept doing it. So it was fun.
See, that's amazing. Those are things that the average kid who just grows up in a house with parents that work never gets to experience. I mean, the professional sports lifestyle is extremely unique. I can tell you that.
Yeah. Coming up, we've got NFL True False. Also, what did we learn coming up also? And we're going to bring this down the home stretch. Got 1.5 hour left in the show. Andrew Peters, Steve Tasker on One Bills Live from One Bills Drive, presented by Kaleida Health. And this is Buffalo Bills Radio.
crack a light daytime since 9:30 this morning.
You've been trapped in here.
I feel like I'm in a casino. You don't even know what time
right,
it is.
Right, there's no clocks.
Pumping oxygen, keeping you awake, and no windows to see what time it is.
Bringing you bottles of water every so often. Yeah. Can I get you something? That's great. Yeah. All right, it's time for NFL True False, brought to you by Yancey's Fancy, New York's artisan cheese. Okay, we got three of these, Andrew, and here they are. You don't have to.
I'm telling you if it's true or false.
Yeah, we'll have a debate whether we agree or disagree. Here we go. Number one, and this is the conversation we started the show with. NHL players are tougher than NFL players. True or false? You want to go or you want me to go?
So NHL players are tougher.
Mm-hmm. True or false?
False. False.
You don't think so?
I don't think it's that easy as true or false. I think if we were doing buy, sell, or trade, I'd trade it.
Oh yeah. Okay.
But I got to say,
that's your instigator
thing.
No, that's true or false.
I just got to say false to this one because I don't. I think I'd be ignorant to say that NHL players are tougher than
NFL
players.
You know what I think? I think they're probably got the same tough guys in both. I say false. I think they're tough as anybody. I think they're both equally tough. You got same kind of guys playing pro athletes who endure all these kind of things to the same way that they do. Although the type of punishment both teams or sports dish out is different. I think you got to be equally tough.
And how about this? Just playing the sport. You have to be tough just playing the sport because you might not be getting rocked in a game-to-game basis, but the potential to get rocked and injury is there for both sports.
And here's where the tough part comes in. You get rocked, and it doesn't matter if you feel good or not. You got to keep going. You know? I mean, there's a level of expectancy there, of expectation there that – you know, you may be hurting, but you're not injured, so I don't want to hear
about it. I've been rocked where you have nothing coming from it at all, and I've been gently hit where it can be some of the worst pain you've experienced.
I've
could just be a
too.
Quick stinger. You know, you're like, I didn't expect it to hurt
the
that
much.
The
most painful thing I ever went through on a football field, and I took some world-class shots. The most painful thing I ever went through was I was standing there, and a guy got whipped around, and his cleats went across my shin.
Ooh.
All the way to the bone. That is the only time in my entire life where I didn't think I was going to be able to cope with the pain.
Really?
I was begging for the needle, man. Just take it away. Do something. Help me.
You ever get hit, like a stand-up hit, and like in the chest, and like your whole neck and jaw and everything just go like lockjaw? You just go all tight? And
like,
it just...
Yeah, it feels like your head... Yeah,
you have to,
I have, but that was the only. In fact, it happened on a Monday night game. My family saw it, and they showed a quick picture of me on the sidelines. That's the only time they got scared because they could tell how much pain I was in. And you know what? 3 minutes later, I was back on the field. It was completely gone.
Male athlete of the year last night. I charged at him his rookie year, Alex Ovechkin. He was playing right wing. I was playing left wing. Puck got rimmed around. I was coming off the bench from a line change. I'm like, I'm going to get to smoke the new Russian superstar. And he was 6'2", 235. And he just braced himself, planted his feet. And I went down. And I was my whole, like from my chest, felt like my chest.
Right.
Like
the solar plexus.
I didn't even go down. I just got stood up. And I remember leaning over and going back to the bench. I was winded.
Shortest,
I was in pain. My
shortest
whole side
of
my
history
jaw
than
up
in
here was unbelievable.
It was a 2 second shift.
It really was.
So we both say false to NHL players are tougher than NFL players.
Played a minute two that night.
Perfect. Perfect. How many penalty minutes?
Zero, that one. That was my last shift.
All right, number two, NHL, NFL, true or false. American football would work at the Olympics. There's a conversation out there that the American football game might be an Olympic sport in 2024. True or false, would it work as an Olympic sport?
What? Really? I can't even – who are they going to play against?
I know.
Canada?
I'm with you.
Hey, all those CIAU.
That's a good question. Are they going to use the NFL rules or the Canadian rules? Are they going to use – then there's the European League that's over there. It's a semi-pro kind of league. I don't know if there's enough countries who play American football that it would be viable.
Well, exactly. I mean, just give – don't even play. Give the U.S. the gold medal and let's move on.
So, yeah, let's do put it in the Olympics. We'll get a free gold medal.
I'm going to say
awesome.
False.
I'm going to say completely false.
I'm going to say false. It wouldn't work.
Yeah, because for so many reasons. It's a complicated sport. There are – now, listen to this, and this is a true story. My son played at Case Western Reserve in Cleveland, a Division III school. They took their team, or like 25, 30 of their guys from Cleveland in the off season, flew to Italy, and played against a semi-pro football team over there. And they were the team was headed to the playoffs and stuff. Played against them. And this Division III football team, and this team was headed to the playoffs, and they were good.
And?
Case Western Reserve in Cleveland, Ohio, thumped them big time. They were playing 40-year-old guys, and it was that kind of, you know, and after the game, those guys come traipsing in with cases of beer into the locker room. Hey, guys, yeah. And that, he had a great time. It was awesome. But, you know, that a Division III team lumped them up pretty good. So I'm thinking the Olympic sport thing probably wouldn't
fly.
Yeah,
that's not going to fly.
I'm going to say false to that, too. All right, here we go. Number three, NFL true false. Is it easier to play, or it is easier to play in the NHL at age 40 than the NFL at age 40? True or false? Are there 40-year-old players?
Yeah,
in the NHL?
There's. Well, Matt Cullen was in the league this past year. There are guys that if I'm Chara's one. I mean, I'm probably leaving a couple out. I don't know, Steve. I got to say easier to play in the NFL, so I'm going to say false to this one.
I'm going to say it's true.
Did I say easier to play in the it's easier to play in the NHL than the NFL. Yeah.
I'd say true. It is easier to play at 40 years of age in the NHL.
So I'm saying true to this.
Cuz there's only one guy. Well, there's been two. One was a kicker. And if the kicker and a punter, I say okay, if you're going to kick and punt, you could play till you're 40. Vinatieri's like
okay, if you're a kicker, kickers are excluded.
Okay.
Kickers are excluded.
Punters excluded.
Punters, because they can't get hit.
Now, quarterbacks, no. There's not too many of them that can do it. I still say the NHL would be easier to play at age 40. Because
I agree.
But there's no position where you could hide them, even as a, you know, as like a kicker and a punter. I'm going to say it's easier in the NHL because I think when you get to that point, your game, and you always say this about old athletes. There's always that spot where you get by with guile and technique and know-it-all, you know, that kind of thing. Your experience allows you to hang in there and play at a high level, even though physically you may be washed up. And there's always that in every sport. But in football, it's physically demanding enough and there are enough guys around you doing it that you can't get away just with that.
If you could have gone back and done any other sport, what would it have been? Golf maybe, or
probably golf.
Yeah.
And I know some guys are going to throw their radios out the window. I probably could have played baseball.
Really?
I hate the sport, but I probably would have been pretty good at that. I had some experience playing it early in life and it was something that spoke to me. I was good.
Yeah. I share the same sentiments about baseball.
You know, depends on if you could hit, but
what is it about baseball that you're not necessarily in love with?
It's the pace of the game, basically. It's not as enough of a team sport that football and hockey is. In baseball, it's about me and my batting average, and then when I'm out someplace else, it's a pitcher against some other batter, and I'll be there if in case he hits it to me. It's not. I don't have anything invested in my teammates. You know, in football and in hockey, you're in it together. You suffer together. You win together. You depend on each other in every situation on the ice. And football, it's even more so. I mean, it's more pronounced. You've got guys who will play an entire career in the NFL and never touch the ball, you know. So they sacrifice for their teammates, you know. So
I've never looked at it that way.
That speaks to me. I like that. I like being in it with somebody and sacrificing for their good and knowing that they'd have done the same for me. I love that way and baseball doesn't give you any of that.
Yeah, I could ask you about soccer. I feel like the World Cup, you know.
I'm warming up to soccer. The World Cup,
I am too.
I watch the World Cup.
This World Cup for me, I think, was probably the most soccer I've ever watched in my entire life. And I didn't watch even that much, but I can tell you I was blown away by it's a completely different soccer game than what was expecting or remember watching from years back when I was a kid. But for me, rugby, I feel like I would have loved, looking back on it, I would have loved to have tried playing rugby. Just, you know, you go knock a guy around for a bit, then you have a handshake and a beer afterwards. You know what I mean? Like, probably the most, you know, violent gentleman, if you want to steal George Peros's, clothing brand name away, but that's what they are.
I played rugby.
Did you?
And my last half of my senior year in college, when I was done with my football eligibility, I played rugby. I played in about 8 or 10 matches for Northwestern University, and it was awesome.
Yeah. Fast, right? Fast paced.
I was the most valuable back in the Big Ten tournament. I played in like 10 matches. We went to the Big Ten tournament.
Were you a hooker? What position did you play?
I was a fullback. I was number 15. And, you know, you come in, you kind of fill in where you were. I was kind of the safety valve, and then I would move up into the attack wherever I felt like it. And it was an absolute blast. And the thing about it, you said, it's a brutal game played by gentlemen. And soccer is a gentleman's game played by brutes, right? So rugby is an absolutely brutal physical sport played with – it's a football tackling kind of thing with no pads.
But it's dirty too. Guys are eye gouging. They're tearing their ears off.
I don't know about that, but yeah.
No.
It's vicious.
So you want to know something? So I was drafted in the OHL in 1997. I was 17 years old, and I was a 6'4", 180-pound skinny kid.
Right.
And we had a fitness test, and I went to my fitness test in Oshawa, and I was 17. I couldn't bench 185 pounds once. And I remember I had a very close family friend. His name is Mark Cosgrove, and he was a rugby player, played for Canada, traveled around, like played for all these international tournaments and stuff. And I was walking by his house one day. He was driving by, and he was pulling his driveway, and I was looking for a summer training partner. Now, he was 5 years older than I was. Well, I trained with a rugby player.
Right.
When I was 17, I told you. So I went to my fitness test in early June in Oshawa. I went back in September. I went from doing 185 zero times to 20 times in one summer just based on how this guy trained. Yeah. They are phenomenal athletes.
Oh, yeah.
Like the endurance they need to be in, the strength, the power.
Toughness.
I mean,
that's a tough sport. I loved playing it. I loved playing it. It's a great – for those of you who don't know, rugby is a great subculture as well, because it is a club sport, and when you get into it, you go play these games, and part of the subculture dictates that after the game, you socialize with the team that you just played against. You come over, you have a few pops, you tell a few stories, you sing some songs, you get to know each other, and that's basically the truly awesome part of the game. And the game itself is brutal and it's fun and it's, you know, it's all of that a competition would be. But the best part about it is nobody takes it home.
The sportsmanship
is
that
awesome.
Comes along with rugby. It's almost bizarre to me how you wouldn't want to carry that out into the parking lot.
Right.
Right?
Right.
I've seen hockey games like in junior, and I don't know how it was in football, if you guys had brawls after high school games or college and whatnot, but I've seen junior games. I remember seeing a player on my team fight another player in the lobby after an OHL game, and the dads were fighting in the lobby. Like, it was kind of, so you had father and son brawl going on in the lobby of the Mississauga Arena. And
it's a bonding moment.
I'm just sitting back. I'm like, I'm not getting into this one.
It's a bonding moment.
They paid $60
a week.
Listen,
that's right. That's why, that's an issue for in any sport when you carry it off the ice. But that's why rugby is great. They give you a chance to blow off the steam, you know, and get to know the guy. And plus, knowing you're going to do that, it takes a little bit of the edge off during the game. You know, you're going to have to see. We'll see. You know, I mean, it's
I think any
awesome.
any sport where you need to tape your ears down is one I'd like to get involved
you're
in
right.
just once.
Well, that's NFL True or False, brought to you by Yancey's Fancy, New York's Artisan Cheese. And you're right. I mean, that I did play rugby. I loved it. There's a lot of sports that I have not tried. My kids, you know, lacrosse is big now. But I don't know. The last True or False about, you know, is it easier to play? It's not easy to play anything at 40, except maybe golf. There are a couple of sports that I like because they are life. Golf is a lifetime sport. Tennis, I'm told, is a lifetime sport.
Yep.
You really got to pick and choose when you get to be, out of the professional sports era of your life. Not that you have to play, but that young range, your young 30s, you know, your mid-30s. Yep. Yeah, that's when your body starts to change. At least it did for me. And
well, you're not calling your buddies at 40 and saying, "Hey, you guys want to play a pickup football game on a Saturday?"
I don't even call them saying, "Hey, you want to run play some hoops?" You know, nothing. You know, it's you just stop doing that. And I think playing it at a professional level, man, you've got to be off your rocker.
Well, you mentioned tennis, so I got a great movie for you to watch before you head to break here in a couple of minutes. You got to go watch Battle of the Sexes.
Oh, with Bobby Riggs.
It's the Bobby Riggs and Billie Jean King movie.
That's new.
Steve Carell. Yeah, I don't know where I just caught it, but it was on TV. HBO might have had it or something.
I saw the trailer of it in the theater,
it's
I believe.
Phenomenal.
Is it good?
Oh, it's amazing. It's amazing. And if you're familiar with the story, I mean, it's an amazing story, but you know, Bobby Riggs, see, I did some research about Bobby Riggs after I saw the movie. I didn't know how great of a tennis player he was. Hall of Famer. He won Wimbledon.
Yeah.
He won like doubles at Wimbledon, singles at Wimbledon, and mixed doubles at Wimbledon. So he won the triple.
He was a good tennis, but he was a showman too. And he was a,
I remember his one line in the movie was, I'm going to put the show in chauvinism, you know, but I mean, listen, that was just an amazing story. Just phenomenal. Just phenomenal.
He had
great acting.
Yeah, if you don't remember the story, Bobby Riggs, back in, who's this tennis player who was kind of this loudmouth, brash guy, challenged Billie Jean King to a tennis match in the Astrodome, and it was big. I mean, he was.
And she first declined, and he beat the champion there. It's in the movie. I just watched it. Margaret Court first.
Okay. All right.
Two sets. Then Billie Jean accepted the challenge.
Right.
And we think we know the history of that
And it turned out to be one of the great great barrier breakers in all of sports. It was awesome.
Oh, yeah.
I remember that. I was a kid, a young kid. It was in 70s.
73, I think it was.
Right. I was like 11 or 12. So it was a big deal to us. And back then, you know, I got three stations. You couldn't follow it or anything. So you get big, and they'd be on national news, you know, and stuff.
You could see a female tennis player, forget athlete, tennis player right now, I'd want to see Serena Williams play somebody. And I'm going to say that she might be able to beat him. Maybe not number one, number two. Those guys are different, you know. But I'm talking like take a mid-ranked guy in the 80s or 90s and see how it would happen. It would be a sporting event for the ages.
Yeah. Maybe we'll get him. You can play her.
Not a chance. She might be one of the greatest athletes to ever live.
We're going to come back with what did we learn after this. You're listening to One Bills Live from One Bills Drive. We're going to close the show out after another segment. Thanks for staying with us. This is Buffalo Bills Radio. What have we learned? Presented by Advanced Alarms, providing Western New York's home and businesses with the finest in security and home theater and preferred alarm and home theater provider of the Buffalo Bills. Here in the first hour, we had Clint Bowyer on, professional stock car driver, 2008 NASCAR Nationwide Series champion. He was in studio with us. He's had 190 top 10 finishes and 10 wins. We asked him about his pregame, pre-race routine and how it differs from other athletes, and here's what he said.
The thing that separates our sport way differently from those sports, right up until literally the green flag drops, we're doing interviews, we're taking care of our sponsors, we're taking pictures, we're, you know, there's dragged in so many different ways. Our sport consists of those sponsors on the side of those race cars. You've got to take care of business in a good way and do a good job at it so you can stay on that racetrack for many years to come. The physical aspect of it is just heat. That's the really only thing. You don't have to bench press a Volkswagen to be able, we got power steering. You know what I mean? So the wheel's not heavy by any means.
Good point.
But you have to endure really extreme temperatures.
Yeah, and that's that was the interesting thing about that interview with Clint Bowyer. They're yucking it up and doing all kinds of stuff right up until the time that green flag. And then they climb in, strap themselves into a cage, and they go out and go 200 miles an hour. That's a different sport.
It is a different sport, but he said the steering wheel is not heavy, but you know what's heavy? His wallet. You know, I did a little research.
Yeah.
Do you know how much he's made in his career?
No.
I think this is just career earnings in terms of, like, winnings, because you say he's been top 10 190
times.
$30 million.
Well, good for him,
no
man.
Big deal, eh?
Hey.
Just to drive a car.
And that's just the winnings.
Just to turn left.
That's awesome.
I loved his line about turning right, too.
Yeah.
You turn right, it hurts.
Yeah, you turn right, you're stopping quick. Yeah, that's awesome. We also had Lorenzo Alexander on, and we asked him, training camp right around the corner, how prepared his team, what he liked about his team headed into training camp. And here's what Lowe told us.
I feel good about it. Like you said, we laid the groundwork in OTAs and a mini camp, the foundation, and now we have to kind of pick up and continue to do that, laying that foundation during training camp and really come together. And obviously throughout this entire process, seeing who our starter quarterback is going to be, seeing how some of our young guys are going to kind of rise to the top, kind of like what Matt Milano and Tre'Davious did last year, because we're really going to need, you know, some guys here and there to really step up and play beyond maybe their years in the league, to help us obviously get back to the playoffs and ultimately take a run at a championship. So that's all the things that you want to start looking at and building upon as soon as we get back and hit the ground running.
That was Lorenzo Alexander, and that is What Did We Learn by Advanced, brought to you by Advanced Alarms. Andrew, thanks for coming in and pulling out another 3-hour shift when you really didn't have to. I appreciate it. That's awesome.
That's what teammates do.
There you go. There you go. Tell the rest of the instigators that we appreciate them letting us borrow you for the rest of the afternoon.
I don't think they mind. I think I bet you Craig doesn't even know that I'm doing this.
That's probably true. He hasn't come out of the woods yet, has he? Good for
Literally,
him.
He has not come out of the Good woods. He's in the woods.
Well, here's the thing, too. By tomorrow, there will not be an One Bills Live. We're taking the Friday off. Murph gave us he's got a wedding coming up. He gave us the weekend off, so everybody's taking Friday off. I don't know what's going to happen, but it's not going to be from us. So you don't have to come in tomorrow, by the way. So.
No, we're off.
Awesome. Awesome. I appreciate it. That's going to be it for One Bills Live. Andrew Peters, thanks so much for being on here with us. Thanks to George Blass, Jeff Koltenek, Thomas Hollander, Kelly Rude, J.J. Torito, and our producer, Jay Harris, also Kevin Cargis, and also James Roble. All those people help us put this show together.
See, that's where you guys outclass us.
Why is that?
You thank everybody on your squad at the end of the show.
It's just an extra way to fill in that last 15, 20 seconds before we get to start.
It's a very classy
weekend.
Way to fill it in.
And
we don't do that. We don't acknowledge
it. I learned that from Murph.
Because we've learned on our show, and you should learn it on your show. You're the reason why the show works, not them.
You know what? I like where your head's at.
Figure it out.
That's right. Everybody, thanks for joining us. One Bills Live. We'll be back with you on Monday. Andrew Peters, Steve Tasker, saying goodnight. Talk to you later from One Bills Live on One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.